When we started our series here on Rav Kook and Tfilah, the first session, we learned several lines which absolutely disturbed everyone around us, around the table. And that was the implication that Rav Kook made, which had indicated that there is no way in the world that tefillah has an effect to change HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind. The immediate reaction was, whoa, wait a minute. That's the case. What am I saying? Refrainu, Chas V'Shalom, someone in the family is sick. Must be the Onesh of Hashem, the hand of God that did it. Please, Rabbanu Shalom, send the Refuah Shleima. Use your other hand. Do something else. Show me another something. The way you did it, undo it. I want you to change your mind. And nonetheless, it was Rav Kook who had indicated that this is not the case. Anyone who comes to Tefillah at any time, in any page in the Siddur HaMachzor, where he, the davener, the one who is saying the tefillos, feels that he or she is going to change Rabbanu Shalom's mind, has absolutely no concept of what true and authentic tefillah is. Needless to say, this is very disturbing. Mm-hmm. On the spot, I had to promise some kind of explanation and analysis of what is going on here, because it's probably the most difficult concept in all the months that we have been examining Rav Kook. This is probably one of the most difficult ones. It repels us. Even we who are ready to love every single one of our fellow Jews, and even we who are ready to swear our allegiance to Ahavas Eretz Yisrael and Torah Eretz Yisrael and so on and so forth. It needed these several months for me to be able to put together the sources in the patchwork method that I did, and I will explain every single one of the sources to you, so that I can build a case for you in trying to understand where Rav Kook is coming from and in trying to solve this one problem. Do you actually change the Rabbanu Shalom's mind? Can you change the Rabbanu Shalom's mind or not? If there were an easy answer, that would be the best thing of all. It is a very detailed and complicated story. It is both detailed and complicated because long before Rav Kook, the problem existed not only in the Zohar, but also was dealt with primarily by the founders of Chassidus, the Baal Shem Tov, the Mezritch Magid, the Magid of Mezritch. The Baal Shem Tov's grandson writes about it, and the Baal Shem Tov's Talmid, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Polnoy, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. In other words, all of these people go back to the source of Chassidus. I'm not talking about 10th, 11th, 12th generation, lightweights. I am talking about the original four-star generals of Chassidus. They were devastated by the problem, and the problem was not theirs. It was already trying to figure out what the message of the Tzar is, realizing now that Rav Kook was a hybrid on the one hand of being a Litvak, and that was from his father's side. His father wanted him to be a Rosh Hashiva in the Litvish style, and his mother was a Chassidische, and she guaranteed the world that Rav Kook would be a Rebbe, Chassidish style, realizing that he blended the two, Valojin, and his mother's Yichus. You have to go back to the sources of Chassidus and see what's what. There's no other way to be able to understand it.
Why is this different from any
problem concerning God's free will. God knows what we're going to do, and yet we have free will in that paradox. I'm going to go over and pick up this tape recorder and go on the ground, assuming I'm going to do it. And yet, two minutes ago, I didn't plan to do it. God, in his omniscience, undoubtedly knew, in quotes, that I was going to pick up tape recorder and go on the ground, even though I didn't. In the same way that if I, God forbid, someone is sick and I want to pray for that person's welfare, God knows that I'm going to pray for that person's welfare, and God knows the result or what is going to happen afterwards. I don't know.
It's probably no different.
It might seem, from my point of view, that he's changed. Assuming that the person then gets well, it might be that we think that he's changed his mind, but he didn't change his mind. He knew that it was going to happen. But that's the way of looking at it, a way of looking at it.
The issue is probably the same from a logical construct. However, the vocabulary is very much different. And secondly, the way Hasidus and Kabbalah, which Rav Kook invokes, especially in Tefillah, goes about solving the problem is a totally different situation altogether. If we were to stay in the Pshat, if we were to stay in the Gemara, in the Chazal, no question about it. Afilu cherev chadam munachas al tzavaro shel adam. Person sees in a second that his head is his throat is going to be slit. There's still an opportunity because the Rabbanu Shlomo may have a different question. No question about that. All right, let's see what we can do. Let's begin by actually formulating the problem the way Chassidim formulated it, by looking at the Rambam. What is the obligation of tefillah? What is the chiyuv, the obligation, the minimum of which has got to be performed, below which you haven't expressed any kind of mitzvah of tefillah? So the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tefillah, that's the selection that's marked here with A, begins right off the bat, mitzvah saseh lispalel b'chol yom. Now that's not the obligation. That's only a definition. Shneimar, and the definition of the mitzvah can be found va'avaditem es Hashem elokeichem mipi ha'shemua lamdu. We have this tradition from Halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim that avoda zo, this service unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is he tefillah. This is what we utter as tefillah. We still don't know what the minimum is. Shneimar, and he quotes another pasuk, "Love do b'chol avavchem." Amru chachamim. Chachamim explain this, that ezu avoda shebeleiv zot tefillah. What are we talking about? Serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our hearts. And that's by davening. Ve'ein minyan tefillos min haTorah. The numbers of times we daven, according to the Rambam at least, is not midoraisa, is not in the Torah. It's only instituted in the Rabbanon. Ve'ein Mishnah tefillah zos min haTorah. Okay, the text is not from the Torah. Ve'ein li tefillah zman kavua min haTorah. And you have no fixed time from the Torah. All of these three things are midrabbanan. Based on the fact that the Torah doesn't bind us to a text, to a time, and to the numbers of tefillos that have to be said, lefichach in halacha beis, he continues, nashim va'avadim chayavim b'tefillah. Women who are exempt from timely mitzvahs, and servant slaves, Eved Ivri, who are also Eved Kenani, who are also exempt, is chayavim b'tfilah, are nonetheless bound to tefillah lefi shei mitzvah sasei shelo azman grama, because it has no time factor in it. Ella. And he continues, and here's where his definition of what your obligation of the mitzvah is to daven. We still don't know what the obligation is. Got to do something once a day. We call that something avoda shebalei. Ella, now you understand, says the Rambam, chiyuv mitzvah zo. The obligation of this mitzvah is kachu. This is what you have to do. In Yeshiva Shaloshan, we call it ma'aseh ha-mitzvah, the action. Lula of an esrog, what is the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah? Nitilas lula, pick it up, and that's it. You see. What is the maaseh? What is the action, that the visible action that you see, that you know that you do, in order to be mekayim tefillah? Chiyuv mitzvah zo, kachu, this is what you have to do. Sheyehei adam mischaneinu mispalel b'chol yom. A person has to go ahead and do something, and that is mischanein, beg, umispalel, whatever that means, to daven, b'chol yom. And here he tells you what it means. This is what you have to do. A, magid shvachal shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You must be able to go ahead and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After you've done that, B, shevach. Okay, this is the maaseh of tefillah. This is the action. B, achal kach, after you've done the shevach part, the praise, shoel tzrachov, you must ask what you need. Shehu tzarich lahem. And he asks it bivakasha, just the way you would ask of a human being, bitchina, and with supplication, begging. And see the third component of the mitzvah, v'acharkach, now saying shevach v'hodayol Hashem, he praises and thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ala tova shehishpi alo, okay? For the goodness that was bestowed upon this human being, the one who is davening, v'kol achad lefi kochol, and in this issue, you go ahead and you continue, each according to his own abilities. And obviously it means linguistic ability. So the maaseh mitzvah of tefillah is, number one, you turn to the Rabbanu Shalom and you say, there is no one like you. Okay, la gadol yibavan ara. Kel elyon. That's called shevach. The second is, in order to have daven today, you must have turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asked him for something. Okay? To which he's got to answer. And see, then you have to go ahead and say thank you. Shevach, but the shevach v'hodoya. It's a thank you, and you'll soon see the difference.
Thank you for everything. It's not for
no, for thank you for whatever. For whatever. Al nisecho shebechol yomimonu, al niflosecho v'tovosecho shebechol eis. Now, later, this morning, tomorrow.
You have shevach in the beginning?
Yeah, but the shevach is, be careful. He calls it Shevach Mahudoya, and that's why, to distinguish the first from it. This is the Maaseh HaMitzvah. Three stages. It is implicit over here that, number one, you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no question about that. Number two, there's no question that you ask what you need. Okay? That's it. And if you don't ask, then there's a chisaron, there is a fallacy in the Maaseh HaMitzvah. Well, here is your very great difficulty. Here's the source of your difficulty. The whole problem that we learned was, at least when we started with Rav Kook, is man has got to transcend himself. You've got to forget yourself. You don't ask. What you have is already everything that you should have. What you don't have is only the Gashmias in you and me. This Masach, the curtain which divides humanity from the ultimate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't ask. That's not davening, and this is what we learned. We have to refer back to our session of two times ago. The problem is, I don't understand. If that's the case, the Rambam goes ahead and defines, and this is not the Rambam, obviously, this he gets from the Gemara. The Rambam defines that you've got to ask. The Maaseh HaMitzvah inherent in the Maaseh HaMitzvah of tefillah, that you got to ask. Now, if you were to say to me that this is a machlokes between Chazal, Nigla, and Nister, between mysticism, Kabbalah on the one hand, and Halacha on the other hand, so it's a good answer, but that's not the case. Nowhere do we see in Kabbalah that they reject this. Nowhere do we see in Hasidus that we reject this Rambam. You know why? Because if we would reject it, we wouldn't say it. Hasidim would have a different Shemona Esrei. There would be a different formulation altogether. It just wouldn't be a V'yatzmach Pekone here or there, or a Kegavna from Zohar instead of a Vameh Madlikim from Mishnayos Shabbos. It's not. It's the same Shevach, Bakosha, and Hodoya that the Rambam had, that Ashkenazim had, that Sfardim had, that those who had nothing to do with Kabbalah had, and those who have everything to do with Kabbalah had. The problem is a Stira Minei Ubei. There's an intrinsic problem over here to the whole situation. Well, There's only one way. We've got to get into the basis of understanding one aspect in Kabbalah, and that's called the word Shechina. If you see an item D in the left hand corner, you see the word Malchus, which means the kingship of Hashem. There are synonyms for that Malchus. One synonym is Shechina, second synonym is Ruach HaKodesh, and a third synonym is Bat Sheva. I will explain them. Alright, Malchus ends with a Tov. Now, masculine or feminine noun? Zachar or Nekeva? Probably feminine. That's all. Shechina, masculine or feminine?
Feminine.
Ruach, masculine or feminine? Wrong. Haruach noshevet. I said the Ruach. What are you telling me, Ruach HaKodesh? I'm saying the word Ruach. Ruach noshevet klira. Okay? Oh, you're right. Ruach HaKodesh, you want to make it masculine? You're going straight. You don't say Ruach Kedosha. Ruach, feminine of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, you see. The Kodesh is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I don't know what you have in your mind, whether it's masculine or feminine. You see, but Ruach in and of itself is feminine. Bat Sheva? No question. Let's leave that for a moment, and then we'll come back to it. You know that Kabbalah speaks of Eser Sfiros, 10 emanations, or better still, 10 methods, ways, channels, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to this world. This is without question Zohar, but it's accepted without any problems in all other systems of Kabbalah. Its basis is in Zohar. I won't get you too crazy with it. I just want to give you the yesod, and I believe you'll be able to understand it. You see, the Rabbanu Shel Olam is two sides of a coin. The first side is the Ein Sof, the top of the picture. Impossible to understand. Impossible to relate to. There's just no way. If I were to give you the most ridiculous, simplistic mashal, it would be as follows. Grace, you take a child's toy. You wind it up with a spring, or you put a little battery into it, so it'll go. It'll crawl. It'll move. The car will go. You want to give it the most incredible kind of energy. It should zoom, it should take off. So you go and you get gasoline, 92 octane, that's super unleaded, and you put it into this car. What are you going to do? You're absolutely going to destroy that child's toy. It won't work. It'll blow up if you light it. And finished. It's not going to work. The energy of the gasoline, 92 octane, is so absurdly powerful that there's just no way for you to go and power this. There's no relationship between the source of power, the energy, and what you're trying to propel. To use the same thing, the mashal with Ein Sof, that simile and metaphor with Ein Sof, there's no way in the world that a human being can come into contact, teaches Kabbalah, with the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are finite, we are Gashmius, we are Bosa of the Dom, that cannot stand or be able to perceive or even come in contact with Ein Sof. That's one side of the coin, though. The chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was such, in his loving kindness, that he went ahead through a mechanism called Tzimtzum, reducing the octane. Shouldn't be 92. Should be, I don't know, 1 or 0.00001. Reducing the octane of his havaya, of his essence, so that we can get on it. You know, so a 9-volt battery, a 1.5-volt battery, Duracell, in relationship to that this infinite octane power. And he allowed himself that other side to relate to the world in everything and anything that he does, in all of the energies, in all of the chiyut, all of the vitality, all of this life-giving vitality. He relates in 10 different ways. And these 10 different ways are the essence of understanding Kabbalah. Now, we're interested in number 10, and that's Malchus. Mm-hmm. We'll see how we get there. You see, I've numbered them all, and if you've got to, in your mind, draw a line, a horizontal line, dividing 1, 2, and 3 from the bottom ones, 4 through 10. Okay? They're totally different. 1, 2, and 3, Kesa, Chochma, and Bina, are theoretical things. They are machshavas. It's the way the Rabbeinu Shel Olam decides what he wants to do in any given situation. It is the architect's plan. Can you live in the architect's plan? You can't. In the head of the architect, he already knows how you're going to live by merely conceiving of all of these lines in its reality. But you can't live on the architect's drawing. It's impossible. So 1, 2, and 3 are the architect's plans.
Except by definition, Torah?
No. Torah is everything. Mm-hmm. In Torah, you have all 10, and you have the Ein Sof also. All right? But the actual Mikoach El HaPoal, the plans being transformed into real life, the doing part of it, are numbers 4 through 10. Now, I think you will find 4 through 10, 4, 5, and 6, and 7, and 8, and 9, 10, you will see 7 spheros, or 7 dimensions over there, right? This is called Bat Sheva. Now, look at the way things are drawn. One flows into the other. You see number 4, Chesed, flows into 6, Tiferes, and number 5 also into Tiferes, Gevurah into Tiferes. Once you have all of the, you know, all of the what shall I call it, all of the marbles in 6 in Tiferes, then Tiferes, the marbles can go flowing into 7 and 8, and from 7 and 8 into 9, Yesod, and not only that, they all resolve itself ultimately in Malchus, in number 10. Okay? So everything that you have of the qualities of Chesed, number 4, and Gevurah, number 5, and whatever Tiferes means, and whatever Netzach means, and Hod and Yesod, all of them come in finally into this container called Malchus. And synonyms for Malchus are the Shekhinah, the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Bat Sheva. All of this.
Now, is the Chesed and Malchus the same thing?
No, absolutely not.
That's very good.
I hear what you're saying. Chesed and Malchus is as far, and maybe even further, as east is from west, as Mizrach from Arab is Atlantic from Pacific. Two different things. If you want me to expound on Keser, then I have to teach you Kabbalah. Right now, I'm only interested in the one word, Shekhinah. That's all.
It's
yeah.
Like, you have a circle, so
yeah.
East and you go east, you come west, and east and west are really.
Go. Remember, you got a carpenter doing a master craftsman job over here. I'm trying to just distill it to its, you want to do a job on spheros? That's a separate Indian altogether.
Moshe asks God's name in Tzimtzum.
Okay.
Are you not sure yet? Yeah.
No.
What is that?
I don't know. Tonight, I don't know. In other words, without my books, I don't know. But you can be darn sure that if you borrow the sefer that I photocopied this column C from, you'll have the answer. Without question, and 1,000 more answers. But I know my clientele, and I purposely didn't bring it. That was it. Otherwise, we would have been off on a tangent. Now, our job is to understand in Kabbalah the Shekhinah. If we can understand the function of this Shekhinah, number 10, Malchus, Shekhinah, synonym Malchus, and what it does in Kabbalistic thought, I think you will then be able to understand how the Baal Shem Tov and others went ahead and tried to resolve this problem. Do you or don't you? Can you or can't you ask for what you need?
That's what I asked about. That's what I said when we were doing. Because it seems like in understanding Malchus, you get to see Malchus also as if you stand here.
Yeah.
So here now, the bottom now becomes the top. Well, if you're starting from,
If you put it on a ball.
Okay.
If you start from, if you're going this way, right. So it's like the other side.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. There are no two ways about it. Okay? But I can't answer it. Within the confines, I'm telling you that I can't answer it. Let me give you one more insight into Shechina, then we'll turn the page and we'll see how the problem is resolved. Chazal say it. There is a universal relationship between mother and child, and that is not only human, but it is any mammal or probably any animal on some level identifies itself as mother and someone else as the child, as the offspring. So Chazal said in Psochim, you've got to know a klal, that there's no doubt about it that a child cannot exist when born without the nursing care of its mother. But, Chazal say, know for a fact that Yoser Mimasha Ha'egel Rotzeh Linok, more than the child, in other words, the little calf, needs the nourishment and the sukkah of its mother's milk, is para rotzah lahanik. It is the mother who must resolve, or better still, must express her needs by going ahead and nursing that child. And the desire of the mother is infinitely stronger. Shechina is the nurturing aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Shechina is the mother.
That's correct. All of the things that went on in numbers 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 9, 8 and 9, all of these qualities come together into one basket, so to speak, at the bottom of everything there. And all the marbles are coming, all of the nutriment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives and the vitality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives comes together, blends itself in some kind of divine way, and whether it's hormonal or whatever you want, everything comes together, and from Malchus, from Shechina, it must go out. Now, we use the word Malchus, meaning Melech, okay? Melech, by definition, owns everything within the Melech's province. He owns the land, he owns the people, by definition. Okay? The Melech wants to give more than the subjects want to need. Okay? Because if the Melech cannot give, he's not a Melech.
Yeah.
He's absolutely not a Melech.
No one calls him a king.
That's right. He wants to give. And our concept is constantly with Melech Basar V'Dam, that a Melech is going to kill you. A Melech you have to be afraid of. A Melech you have to be, you know, you have to stay away from. You just don't look at. You don't see me, I won't bother you. And this is not so with Melech Basar V'Dam. If Melech is Shechina, if Malchus is Shechina, okay, Rabbeinu Shlalom wants to give you more than you want to ask of the Rabbeinu Shlalom. And this is the pasuk. Give me a second. The word, this is the pasuk that we say in Malchios. The Yeda Kol Pa'ul Ki Atopi Alto, let in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah. Let everyone know that you went ahead and created him. The Yavin Kol Yitzur Ki Atah Yitzarto. Let everyone understand that you fashioned him. The Yomar Kol Asher Neshama Be'Apo, said every single neshama will turn to you and say, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech U'Malchuso Bakol Mashallah. Your Malchus is so ubiquitous over everything. And what does your Malchus mean? You're constantly giving. And if you don't give, you know who has the problem? Not Bnei Adam. If you hold back, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, You, Rabbeinu Shalom, you, Ruach HaKodesh, you, Shechina, you have the problem. You want a moshel? You want a moshel? Let's take the mother and let's take a child who needs to be nursed by the mother. Chas v'shalom, the child cannot relieve the mother of the growing supply of milk. She's crazy. She's in trouble. You see, it is no different with the Rabbeinu Shalom. When he sees that there is something lacking, or there is something that you are in need of, there is tension up there. This is what Kabbalah teaches. Because by definition, this aspect of Malchus is a constant giving aspect. Not without Seichel. Not with, you know, pampering anyone and everyone. It's with Mishpat. It's with understanding. When you're going to overfeed a child, you kill the child. Simple as that. It's got to be with the right amount, dilution, of whatever has to be diluted, just so that it fits. Don't take the nutriment, and the Rabbeinu Shalom is in trouble, the mother is in trouble, not the child. Now this is all inherent in Shechina. And that's why Malchus and all of its synonyms are so incredibly weighted with the feminine gender. Malchus is feminine, and Shechina is feminine, and Ruach is feminine, and Bat Sheva is feminine also, even though it relates to these seven qualities over here. And Malchus is the Bat, is the result of Sheva, of seven different convergences, spheros, ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu dispenses his goodness to the rest of the world. Now, that's only definition up until now. We have to arrive at some solutions to the problem. You had a question, Joel? You want to say? No? Okay.
The concept of kings, by the way, what you're describing is, it seems to be the glacier kings. As I recall, the Jewish kings weren't ones that, because they wanted to be king, they had something to give, who was Bnei Yisrael, something to be a king, a point for us a king.
Yeah, I hear, but we have halacha of Morid the Malchus. Once I'm a king, I can do whatever I want. So it's Yira, it's not this nurturing kind of a situation. The fact that David Melech Yisrael and Shlomo Melech Yisrael went ahead and nurtured Bnei Yisrael in such a way that they never had such wonderful years. Okay? That doesn't take away their right to go ahead and be a melech. Okay? Nonetheless, Melech Basov Adam is one thing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is another thing. I can't think of any better way. And you have to identify with it. You have to know. You have to understand it. Than trying to identify with this concept of Shechina, other than the mother who presently is nursing, and the baby cannot take the nutriment that she is ready to give. In big trouble. Incredible pain. Now, let's try some answers. Let's take a look on the second page. Lines 4 to 9, but just restate the way the problem exists in the Zohar. Let's start with 1. Be'er, this is the Degel Machane Yehuda writing. He was a grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. His name was Rav Moshe Chaim Ephraim Misadlikov. And he wrote the Sefer Degel Machane Yehuda, who was a direct descendant, you know, not Pony Shtik, Rabbi Sheinikov. The direct descendant, a grandchild of the Baal Shem Tov. Okay. There?
I don't hear from him.
I don't know. In Chassidus, those who truly know Chassidus know the Degel Machane Ephraim. Dagger Machnayim. No, yes it is. Okay. Now, Be'er, in other words, my grandfather explained, he says, that there's a Kushya Bazoar, there's a problem, a stira, a contradiction in the Zohar. Because Bazoar Ksiv, in the Zohar, in one place, it writes that Tzvochin kikelovin havlam nizona. That people are standing and barking like dogs. Rabbanu shalom, go ahead and give me food. Now, what is the key word in this? Klovim, you're dogs. You call someone a dog and you're a human being, you know you've been cut down to size. That you stand before the Rabbanu shalom and bark like dogs. Havlam nizona, give us food. This is what a human being does when he stands lifnei melech malchei melech malchei b'olchu. U'b'mama acher, and elsewhere in the Zohar, in Mefarash, this second approach appears at least three times in the Zohar. That man delo mispalel al panaso, person who every single day doesn't utter a tefillah for that day's panaso, for that day's wages, b'chol yom, and it's got to be every single day, humikatnei amono. He is a person who has absolutely almost no faith whatsoever. He is a bird brain when it comes to faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unless you turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you say, Rabbeinu Shalom Havlon, please let me have Parnosa today. Okay? Not only the whole thing, Shmak Eleinu, all the Bakoshes of the Rambam that we spoke of. See, so he caught, the Baal Shem Tov caught the stira, the contradiction in the position of the soul. Line 4. And we come to the first possible answer. V'tireitz, and the Baal Shem Tov explained, ki kol devar chisaron sheyesh la'adam, anything that a human being is lacking, is missing, is margish hachiyus. Chiyus comes from the word chai, and that's, in French we call it ilan vital, the essence of godliness, in other words, the essence of power, the source of all life, and chiyus is nothing more than shechina. Okay? The source of life, just like the mother is the source of life for her child. Anything that I am missing, malgish hachiyus, the Rabboni Shalom feels it in what aspect? In what, which sphere? In Shechina, in Malchus. He feels it, that it's missing. V'nimtza, k'shem yispalel, and therefore when a person goes ahead and davens al eizeh chisaron, something that he's missing, is derech mashol, for example, if you want to say shechasar lo parnasah, he doesn't have a job. The ikar that you've got to understand, the basis is that who feels this lacking, this denial? Halo hachius shelo v'hachius hi min hashchina. It is the Rabbanu Shalom's essence in Shechina that they understand. Shechina is Malchus, number 10. Delachein yisfalel al tzar hachius. Here we come to the first answer. When you go ahead and you ask for something, I need a job. It's to relieve whose pain? Yispalel al tzar achius. You are asking the Rabbanu Shalom shehi ashchina mamash. You are not asking for the relief of your pain. You are transcending yourself. You are not focusing on yourself. You are focusing, you're projecting your pain onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because by definition, Shechina has to give. In the Yanika process, in the nursing process, Shechina wants to nurse more than you.
You're davening for the poro to be able to...
That's right, that the poro should have a refuah shleima. Baal Shem Tov, what happened to Joel? He's your buddy.
I know.
I'm a mitzvah, but it's Baal Shem Tov, I don't want to tell you clearly. You're not going to knock it so fast. Intellectually, you have problems. But it's got to sit there. It's got to sit. It's got to, you know, digest into what's going on. Now, if you're having problems, so it could be that the problem is me. That I haven't been able to give you the correct introduction and the proper terminology to be able to get you to understand Shechina and the Sphira. But one thing's for sure. Talk to any mother who has nursed a child. She will understand this.
So you actually are davening, when you daven, asking a parosa, for instance, or refrain Hashem al Re'o Faith. So you're actually asking him, no, I don't need a tour. You, God, need to relieve your pain by not giving me the tour.
I'll say it in a different way. Your reputation is at stake. You are the one who taught us that you are Peser Chesidecha, who must be Allah Chalcha, you take care of everything.
Right?
And I know that you know that I'm in Saras. I know that you know that I have no Parnosa. I know that you see and you're watching over there. Now what I have to realize is that I know it hurts you. Okay?
Even though I'm an individual.
That's correct. But it hurts you that the shoe doesn't fit by me. It's too tight.
Okay, the middle response way is the paradigm for these brachas. How can we learn that from the words used in those kilos? You would think Chazal, when they made up those brachos shows, that they would embody this in the words.
Good.
We don't see it.
The Rambam elsewhere, I believe it's in Perek Beis, which I don't have here, and after we finish I can show you. The Rambam alludes to this, that when Anshei Knesset HaGedola went ahead and formulated the words, in other words, these supplications, these bakashos, know for sure that they used a generalized formula of the genuine and only needs that a human being or society would have. Okay? Which means, if I were to rewrite this, what he is saying is, on Sheknesses HaKadolah Winevim, they had a direct root to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in prophecy. Rabbi Shalom conveyed to them that this is the story. This is the way I create the world. This is, they were on Sheknesses HaKadolah Winevim. They were definitely Winevim, the early ones, Chagai. Zachariah, Malachi, were Winevim, and Bayesh Sheni. They were members of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Mishiyoi, he was the end already. I'm not sorry, he's a Tana. I'll call him a Tana. Okay? I'll call him a Chochem and not a Novi. You see? But the beginning were Winevim.
When did they start? When did
Ezra. Let's say Ezra. Okay? Maybe a little before Ezra. Mordechai is considered one of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, which is approximately the same time. You see. Alright? You buy that?
Although
the Rambam doesn't speak Kabbalah necessarily, I think we would be able to justify what he is saying in a rational way, not necessarily in a mystical sense. But this is hot stuff.
What you're saying, in a way, is they actually were gathered from Hashem Amamish, because they were the Nevi'im. So therefore, because they are Nevi'im, so they in a way, by putting the tefillah, by doing the tefillah, is what Hashem told them to do. In that sense, that's what you're saying.
That's what I would throw out as a suggestion. Yeah.
This concept was a long time ago, so I'm sure for us to suggest that.
Okay. I say Leman Chav, Lo Leman Ein. Rabbi Akiva. Avinu Malkein, Rabbi Akiva. So you do say it, you see. You do say it.
Very good.
I say Leman Shimcha. No, in Sliches. I say Leman Shimcha Oson Wal Shimcha. We've come to call unto your name. Asay leman shemecho. Do for your sake, relieve your problems. Bavu kevod shemcho. You know why? Your honor is at stake. You, Rabbeinu Shalom, said that Pesach HaShadachol must be alechol chayrotzo. You are taking care of everyone and anything. The most insignificant worm is going to have what it needs to exist. So it's your kavod, and it's your name, your reputation, it's your integrity at stake. Do something, Shechina. I hear, you know, when someone's integrity is at stake, so you feel like you're being ripped apart from all sides.
The same with Moshe Rabbeinu.
Lama Yomer Mitzrayim, right?
Because you couldn't bring them to Israel, therefore you killed them in the desert.
So it is so all over.
That's the first tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay. It's all over.
That's the idea.
It's the same thing by Avraham Avinu. The Bnei Shalom gets taken to a din Torah. Hashofet kol ha'oretz lo yaaseh mishpat. You're going to destroy Sodom and Amorah when the Hamishim Tzadikim Sochayir. It's your reputation at stake. You better do something to straighten this out. Well, Rabbeinu Shalom is Moedim Mitzvah, and not to his bar. You're right. I have to do it that way. It's ubiquitous. It's all over. Just we don't see it in these. You know, the Baal Shem Tov formulates it in such. I got a couple more. There is such romantic terminology here.
Okay, what's wrong?
The Roman, nothing says that there's anything wrong.
Winning war.
Frankly, I was. Well, if you want to stop right here, I'll stop right here. But the reason that I spent probably 40 or 50 hours, sir, trying to get all of the possible reasons so that it fits together is because I feared facing you tonight, Mr. Fisher, because I was sure you would cut me. No, it's on record. Michael Fisher, 240 Park Avenue, Passaic, at 07055. I was afraid of you. So that today, the very day of the shiur, I ran to the New York Public Library after I finished with the doctor, and I sat there all day making certain that I found things that I don't even have in my own library. Svarim that are out of print, like this Magid Devor of Liakov. You see the blotch over there. It was printed in 1835 on blue and green paper. You were the one. Now, you're telling me I'm finished? Let's go home. Come on, tomorrow morning, we're davening to 10 after 6 in the morning. It's Rosh Chodesh, man. But it's devastating, you know. I must tell you quite honestly, the way you worked it through, all of you, all of the examples from Tefillah and from Chumash, it's there, just that this is the way the Baal Shem Tov went ahead and formulated it. That's the way a chosid goes and talks. Let's go further. Okay? Let's see the same concept. Let's take it line 52. Line 52. We're still in the Degel Machne Yehuda. You can see by the type style. If anyone listens to this tape without these sheets, you're probably going to... I mean, you're going to be kissing the bride through a stone wall, not through a veil. You see. You'll have to get the sheets if you're listening to it. Line 52 on the Pasuk, on the famous Pasuk of the Haftarah, Rani Akara Lo Yalada. Sing out, Akara, the one who can't have children, Lo Yalada. And you didn't have children.
Line 51.
Okay, so that's 51. So I'm 52. All right. Ki omar Adoni Ovi Zekeni. Baal Shem Tov. My grandfather, Ovi Zekeni. My grandfather said, Zichrono Livrocha, etc., etc., etc. Ki kol hatfilos, you should know. A second answer. Whatever you daven, no matter what the effect is, kol ha'tfilos asim pe'ula ba'olamos ha'elyonim. There is never a time when you utter any bakosha. Okay? I'm defining this as bakosha, as a request, a need. There is never a time that it doesn't have an immediate and instant effect. And you'll soon see where I get the idea of immediate and instant effect. I'll get you to another source. Kolat filosofim pu'ula ba'olamos ha'elyonim. Has an immediate effect. In olamos ha'elyonim, what are we talking about? Which olam? Which sphera? Malchus. Immediately in Malchus. No two ways about it. But why does he say, why doesn't he therefore say Malchus? Why does he say olamos ha'elyonim, plural, all kinds of worlds? Because remember, Malchus is nothing more than the final recipe, so to speak, of all the other ingredients above it. You understand? So it may address itself not to number 10, but it may go back in our scheme to number 6 specifically, or number 8, or number 9, you see. And once you affect number 9, then as it comes in to 10, it has an effect. But follow it through. And the effect may be not here, but a million miles away.
The other side of the world.
The other side of the world, in China. Okay? There's a pasuk in Tehillim. And forget the pasuk. Leave the pasuk for a moment. You can see it if you want. It's in Tehillim, your base. But elu dvarim she'omdim berumo shel olam. These are the top priorities, Chazal darshan, that what? She'na'asa mizeh dvarim nora'im berumo shel olam. From your tefillos, unbelievable things occur in the upper worlds. U'b'nei adam sovrim, there are those people who think she'lo niskavlu tefiloson. You daven, and you don't get an answer. Or the answer is negative, no. Is lachein mezalzelim b'hem, and therefore they come to deprecate and put down tefillah that it doesn't help. Zeh, now you understand.